No, there's not. Okay, okay, good. Just wanted to clear that up, make sure. How's everybody doing? Good? You guys glad the sun's back out? No, I love that. How many of you like the clouds and the that's so crazy. See, I live in Orange County now, so it's sunny and we have a lot of the same kind of weather that you guys have, but we're close to the beach. But I grew up in Ohio, and in Ohio, we don't get sunny days like this all the time. It's sunny like this sometimes during the summer, but for a lot of the time, it's like that gray weather and like 25 degrees and lots of snow, and it's terrible. So it's not fun. So it's always crazy to me when I come to these places and people are like, yes, it's cloudy and raining. I just go, that makes no sense, because you can't go play outside if it's raining and cloudy. But you guys like it, so that's cool. Did you say yes, you can? Oh, you guys do go play outside if it's rainy and cloudy. Awesome. Great. Cool. Well, that's awesome. That is something that Ohio and Arizona and Southern California are different in, amongst many other things. Anyway, so I, like Ryan said, I am one of the junior high pastors. I'm on the junior high team, so you guys are a little bigger than the people I normally talk to. You guys are really tall out here. Taffy and I were talking out there that you guys are all pretty tall. So in the junior high services, I was able to say, no, I'm a pretty tall guy. You probably assume I play basketball. But out here, I'm the same height as you guys. You guys just look at me and go, he's not athletic. And you would be correct, because I am not athletic. I'm a pretty good mini golfer, though. Pretty good at that. Not basketball, though. So let me just tell you a little bit about myself, and then we're going to jump into John 11. If you guys have a Bible or the Bible app on your iPhone, whatever you want to use to do that, that's where we're going to be. So let me just start. When I was in junior high, I did not like school. I hated school. I was in Ohio. It was cold a lot, as I said, you know. But I hated school. I got picked on. I was not athletic. I was not one of the cool kids, not one of the popular kids. And something else that was going on when I was in junior high was my mom had cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer when I was in fifth grade. And so I was kind of dealing with that kind of stuff growing up. So the being picked on, the family sickness, things like that were really kind of weighing down my life more than just the life of junior high. You guys remember junior high? Some of you liked it, probably. Some of you didn't like it, probably. I was one of those that didn't like it. There was just a lot of stuff going on, and I didn't enjoy junior high. But I grew up in the church, and I grew up as a Christian. My dad was a police officer, and my mom was and an elder in the church, and then my mom was the choir director, and she did all this other stuff. So I was always in the church. So I would often ask God, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, why is my mom sick? Why am I getting picked on? Why am I not athletic? Why am I not more popular? Why am I not any of these things? And I would ask him, you know, why make me this? Make me more athletic. Make me be able to shoot a basket in the hoop, because it looks so easy sometimes. Because I grew up close to LeBron James, so our high schools would play each other in the state championship, and he made it look super easy when he was in high school because he just scored lots of points on our team. So I would just ask God, you know, why is all this stuff? And I had to trust God that eventually it would get better. And it didn't get better right away. And I didn't become more popular in junior high. I certainly didn't become more athletic. So there were all these things that I kept asking God, you know, why isn't this happening? And it took a couple years for God to answer that prayer. And it wasn't to make me athletic or more popular or anything like that. But what it was to be able to use me later in life. So now that I'm 26 and I'm doing youth ministry, I'm able to use some of my experiences that I had as a junior high school student, as a high school student. You know, all of these things that I had growing up, I'm able to use now to connect with younger students who maybe have parents that are sick or who have other things going on in their life. And so what that taught me was that I had to trust God, and that even though I don't understand the circumstances that are going on right now, sometimes later down the road, God will have a purpose for it. As I was looking at what to speak on this weekend that kind of had to do with trusting God and God's plan in our lives, I was thinking about the Easter story and just about Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And I was looking for something that happened kind of before that that set that up, because you guys will hear about Easter in a couple weeks. So if you guys go to John 11, we're going to talk about a guy named Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And the disciples are in the story too. So we're going to see Jesus is going to kind of set the stage for the crucifixion and the Easter story. He's going to set the stage and show them and try to give them an example of, hey, even though your prayer's not answered the way you may have been asking for it, God's got a plan, and he's going to use this situation. So where we jump in the story is Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus is sick, and Jesus and the disciples had been in the town, but they had to take off because some people were trying to kill him. So this is where this Lazarus gets sick, and the sisters send word to Jesus. So we're going to start in verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. All right, so let's look at that section right there. When Jesus is now explaining to Mary and Martha, hey, what's happening right now isn't great, but just have faith because something bigger is going to happen. He says, this sickness will not end in death. So he's reassuring them. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So he's letting them know that God's going to use this situation for something bigger. All right, so let's keep going. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he said this, he went to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Okay, so this is where Jesus is telling the disciples now. He already told Mary and Martha that this is going to be big. Now he's telling the disciples, "I am glad I wasn't there. I'm glad that this happened for your sake so that you may see and believe." See, before this, you know, the disciples and Mary and Martha and all these people had seen things that Jesus did. Heal the blind man, heal the crippled man, heal all these people, but nothing as big as what was coming in the Easter story later down the road. So this is a setup for that. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." Jump down to verse 21 with me. Jesus and the disciples have now gone to Judea. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world." So if you guys have a pen or a pencil or anything, and you want to highlight or underline something in your Bible, this part right here is great. "I am the resurrection and the life." This is Jesus proclaiming that death can't stop me. It's not going to stop me. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." And then he asked if she believed that. And he says, "I believe that you are the Son of God who has come into the world." Let's skip down to verse 32. Now the other sister sees Jesus. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and trouble. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them asked, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" See, Jesus was friends with Lazarus. He was friends with Mary and Martha. And when Lazarus died and he saw everyone else, how sad they were, he was sad too. Even though he knew what was coming up, he knew what was next. But it was still tough for him to go through. Now, the next part, if you're reading in a Bible like mine, it has a little headline at the next section, so it's kind of a spoiler alert. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. So we'll start at verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" They probably all shook their heads. Yeah, he did say that. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called into a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus was sick. The sisters prayed that he would get better. He didn't get better. He died. But then Jesus used that to show God's power. God has power over death. See, we kind of look at death as like death is obviously the end of this physical life. And we see that as being something that you can't come back from. But this was Jesus and God showing that God has power over death. Something that we think is kind of the end of everything. God has power over that. And he showed that with the resurrection of Lazarus. And this was kind of his, like I said, his leading into Jesus being put to death on a cross and raising 3 days later. Now, in our lives, we have things the same way that we have to trust God. There are things with sports. If you guys, you know, why didn't I make this sports team? Like Mary and Martha said, you know, "Lord, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. This car accident wouldn't have happened. Or, you know, my parents wouldn't have gotten divorced. Or I wouldn't have broken up with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. You know, Lord, why are things happening this way?" And like they said, "Lord, why don't you heal Lazarus?" But God had a bigger plan for it. And he showed that he loved them and cared for them enough to bring Lazarus back and to be able to use that story. Now, there's a guy who came and spoke at Saddleback. I think he spoke at Hume Lake. Somebody told me last night he might have spoke at Hume Lake a year or so ago. He's got an incredible story of trusting God, and where he didn't understand his life circumstances, God used him later in life. And he prayed the same prayer every day growing up. You know, "God, change this. Change this in my life so that I can be normal." And God never answered that prayer the way he prayed it. But I've got a short video for you guys to watch to kind of see.
Thank you.
So that's Nick. He's got a pretty crazy story. No arms, no legs. He goes around speaking all over the world. He gets to talk to schools, companies, athletes. He's met all these people, world leaders, and the name of his talk is No Arms, No Legs, No Problem. He's a really hilarious guy. He has, I don't know if you saw, he was like highlighting in one of the clips. He has this little foot thing that he calls his little chicken wing that maneuvers him around. And he's such a happy guy. But when he was a kid, all he asked for was, you know, God, please give me arms and legs. Why do I not have arms and legs? And all he wanted was arms and legs. And what did he say here? He was talking about how he didn't get that prayer answered, but God is using him. And he's so happy now that that prayer wasn't answered, because otherwise he's talking to people who would never have the chance to hear about Jesus. He's getting into public schools all over the world and talking to kids about Jesus and about why he's okay with his situation now. He wasn't when he was growing up, but he sees now that God's plan was bigger and better than anything he could have imagined. Now, we might not have anything as extreme as no arms and legs in our lives, but we all have something going on where we're just like, why is this happening right now? I don't get it, God. I don't know. I don't see the purpose right now in it. And we might not see the purpose in it for a while. We might not see it for, you know, 6 months, a year, 5 years, whenever it is. You know, it took Nick a while to see what his purpose was with it, that he could go out and be a speaker. And we might not see what it is, but it's so important to have that relationship with Jesus, to know that, you know what, even though the bad times are going to come, we have a Father who loves us and Jesus who died for us, so that we are able to have that trust and have that faith that whatever we're going through now is going to be better, and that God's plan is better than anything we could have imagined. So I just want to encourage you guys. You know, like, I know you guys have baptisms on Easter. 13 years ago, when I was 13 years old, I got baptized on Easter. And it was a cool decision. It was, you know, it wasn't so, I was the only one that Sunday at my church that got baptized. And it was awesome. It wasn't because, you know, I was pressured into it or anything, but I really felt like I wanted to make that decision to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And I believe that no matter what I'm going through right now, God loves me and that he cares about me enough to help me through all the stuff that I'm going through. So I just encourage you guys, if you have questions about that, if you're thinking about that, talk to your leaders, because that's an awesome opportunity to just be able to an outward expression of your faith. And when you do that, the peace comes over you that, okay, I've been washed clean, and anything I'm going through, God is going to help me through it. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the sunshine coming back out and the warmth, and just for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the trials that we go through in our lives. And thank you for the Bible and for showing us stories where, even though we don't understand what's going on, we need to trust you. And just help us trust you, whether it's stuff in school, in relationships, in our family, whatever it is, help us trust you and love you and know you more, so that we can know and we can have peace at what's going on in our lives. I just pray for these students that they have a great rest of the day today, and if they're on spring break, a good, safe spring break, and just bring them all back here next weekend safely. Amen.